Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Red and Blue Podcast.
Yeah.
We are back, as we always are, every couple weeks, breaking down what's happening in the Premier League and just talking about some of the early fixtures. But again, we appreciate you guys dropping in. And yeah, welcome to the show, Ole.
Yeah. You know, it's been a couple weeks. Premier League just started. You know, we're not really one of those podcasts that likes to just break down each week, you know, week by week, because this early in the season, you only know so much about a team. So we just wanted a couple weeks to go by, get a couple fixtures under our belt so we can kind of get a better idea of what each team is looking like. So now we've had, what, three games? So
yeah.
We have a pretty, not a perfect idea, but we have a better idea of what we're looking at with each team. So we'll just get into that.
Yeah, we have some teams are dealing with some injury issues and some are dealing and having some things that are affecting at the beginning of the year. So they don't have their full squad yet, but there's still a lot of teams that are getting through the season. And for the most part, there hasn't been a lot of serious problems yet. But I mean, the first thing that we have to talk about, and it's become a big discussion in the Premier League, especially, is VAR. For those who don't know, that stands for Video Assistant Referee. Mm-hmm. And what that basically is, that VAR is it's a way to help. It's like in American sports, it's basically a way to make sure that the call was correct.
Yeah.
So they can, after something happens, if there's like an offside or a goal, something like that, and they're not sure, they go back and review it. And then it's up to the determination of the refs that are doing the game.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's just been a few mishaps, I guess, with VAR in the first couple of weeks. You know, whichever side of the argument you fall on, it's been interesting to see how, like, you know, the teams where it benefited them have been like, oh, well, you know, these things happen, and then the teams where it kind of hurt them, they're pissed and they're like, oh, this is ruining the game and it's ruining the passion of the game and all that sort of thing. So it's just kind of been a topic the past couple of weeks because, you know, the first, it's been three matches, and I think every week there's been like a game where VAR has had kind of played a part. So it's kind of been an issue that people have talked about.
Well, I mean, you talked about it, it's benefiting some and going the others. Tottenham had it where it went one way for them when they were playing Man City, and we can talk about that in a second. But then there's also where it happened to them on the opposite side where they didn't get so lucky in their next match, and they lost points because of it.
Yeah.
So it's happened for. They were probably happy about it after the Man City match, but after their other match where VAR became a factor, they didn't get a penalty kick and they lost that game because they didn't get a potential VAR penalty kick. So that's a big issue, and that's something that they're trying to figure out. You know, how is VAR going to affect the Premier League? Is it VAR that's the problem, or is it really just the rules in place? So really the refs have to make that determination.
Yeah, and I think that is kind of the line that we're getting at here, is that in and of itself, the rules aren't written well. So now when we have a VAR case and we're breaking things down, you know, pixel by pixel, and we can see exactly what happened, it kind of calls some of these rules into play. And we start to look at, the one that went against Man City, the handball?
Right.
I guess you can kind of just break down what happened.
Well, basically, so what was happening, it was a tie game between Tottenham and Man City, 2-2. It was the 90th minute, and Man City had an opportunity to get a goal to win the game. They had a corner kick on, and they were pressuring. It was stoppage time. So what was happening, they had a corner kick come in, and then Marc Laporte, the center back for Man City, who's been a very big value for us, but especially on aerials in doing that, especially without John Stones. He came over and it accidentally hit probably about the elbow area, a little like near his forearm,
yeah,
and deflected off. And it went down to Gabriel Jesus, who then made a couple defenders miss before sinking it in the back of the net, which at the time looked like another game winner for Man City against Tottenham. But history repeated itself, just like in the Champions League last year where there was a VAR call. Another VAR call happened and called back a potential game winner.
Yeah. And it's tough because you look back at it, and in the heat of the moment, if I'm a ref, am I going to call it a handball? No. But looking back at it with VAR, and you see, you know, he was facing the ball, he made no effort to retract his hand, and it did hit what is considered the handball position. So it's like, if we're looking, if we're breaking it down, you know, pixel by pixel, and we're taking what the way the rule is written into account, yeah, it's a handball. But in the heat of the moment, if I'm a ref, I'm not going to call that. So I think what the beef that a lot of people have, it's not with VAR, it's with the way that a lot of these rules are written.
Right.
So when you're breaking it down, you know, it calls into question what actually is a handball and what isn't a handball. You know, in the heat of the moment, I don't think a ref is calling that a handball. But when you break it down and you look at the rule, it is a handball. And that's where the discrepancies come into play. And that's why I think people are kind of getting salty at it. Because it's like, if a guy is offsides and you look at VAR and it's obviously offsides, what can you say? Nothing. Yeah. But in handball scenarios where the rule isn't really...
It's a lot more about the ref's discretion.
It's more at the ref's discretion and the play that happened. It's really a case-by-case basis.
Because of the rules that are in place.
Because of the rules and the way it's written. So when you're looking at it from that perspective, it really is just kind of like, I don't think VAR is the problem. I think the rules are the problem. And that's what we need to look at in the offseason.
That's definitely how I felt. Because look, everyone knows I'm a Man City fan. That Tottenham-Man City result was definitely not something I was looking for, because Man City deserved to win that game. They had that opportunity, and if you look at it, it's not really affecting the play that much the way it happened. I mean, you look at it, barely glanced off his arm. Jesus still had to make a couple people miss before firing it into the back of the net. By the way, through a lot of defenders that were still right in the box after the corner. So as a City fan, I understand how annoying that is, because that's 2 points you don't get against one of the other two teams in the league that really you are worried about in Tottenham, along with Liverpool. So obviously, I understand that, but at the same time, I think it's really the rules that need to be fixed, and the interpretation of a handball needs to be changed to figure out if it's intentional or whether it's not. Because right now, the fact that that's the only determination of whether it was deliberate or not, it's so hard to tell with soccer players whether they're trying to actually hit the ball with their hand, arm, and trying to deflect it, or if it's just a movement that they're doing, say, like if a center back is trying to run from behind someone and try to get unmarked, something like that might happen, where he's trying to get himself marked, get himself squared up for headers, and it goes off his arm and deflects, and maybe it goes and gets a goal. And that, not even in Man City, this could happen in other games too. So you have to understand as a fan that, yes, it sucks that what happened to Man City, but you have to remove that aspect and understand that, right, you don't necessarily give the refs complete pass, but at the same time, they are being dealt different things, a different hand than we want them to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's like the issue, is that they're trying to judge it based on the faulty rule. So you can't really blame them.
So until they make changes based on what the handball rules are, you know, what things can be reviewed, if they're going to have everything at VAR be reviewable, or are they going to make things like in baseball where only certain things are reviewable, or in the NFL where only certain things are reviewable? Or are they going to do everything like they seem to be doing with VAR, where it's like offsides, making sure that the goal went through, a penalty, seeing if there's a foul on a penalty?
And I'm not necessarily, you know, mad at those, because those are plays that can drastically shift the momentum of a game. So I think it's really just, look, when it comes down to it, I just think that VAR is one of those things where it's like, if it helps you, you're never going to be mad at it. And if it doesn't, then you're going to try and find the flaws in it. And I think that's what we're seeing just early in the Premier League, is that teams where it helps them, they don't really have an issue with it. And then you see Tottenham, where 1 week it helps them, 1 week it doesn't. And that's, I think, the nature of VAR, is that some weeks it's going to help you, some weeks it isn't. And that's how it is. As long as they get the call right, I don't really have a problem with it, because we need to, something that I think can't be understated. Something that can't be understated is that based on the writing of the rule, these refs are judging it correctly. You know what I mean? So it's like, as much as you want to get mad at VAR or the refs or whatever, you're really getting mad at the rules. So let's just keep that in perspective. I see all of these players coming out like, oh, it's taking the passion out of the game. Shut the fuck up. No, it isn't. Play the fucking game. We're trying to get the calls right. That's all they're doing. So don't blame the refs. Don't say that the passion is being played out of the game.
This is a new thing for British fans, because this is the last big league that is getting VAR implemented. It's already been implemented in other leagues and in the Champions League.
Yeah. So
this has been something that's been around that is now just making it to probably the most popular league in the world. And it's going to take some time getting used to, and there's going to be a lot of scrutiny, because that's just how the fans are in the Premier League.
But to that point, you've been, if you're a top six team, I really don't want to see you complaining because you've been dealing with VAR in the Champions League. So you already know what it is.
Right.
You know what to expect. So it's,
did they have VAR at the World Cup? I think they did.
I think they did. Yeah, they did.
So any player that plays internationally should know.
That's what I'm saying.
Well.
So if you're a player who plays at a high level, you know what the fuck it is. And you've known to expect this for a couple of years. You know that they've been talking about this for a couple of years now. So it's like, it just seems really disingenuous to see all these people, you know, coming at the integrity of the game and all of this, coming at the refs just because they want to get a call right. Like, I think those things are completely separate. So,
yeah. I think VAR is definitely going to be an issue that that is going to be brought up a lot over this year because it is the first year being implemented.
Yeah.
And there's going to draw a lot of criticism, but I think people have to understand VAR may have some issues, but at the same time, we have to understand that there's a lot of layers of different things happening here. We have to figure out exactly, you know, not just with VAR, but the rules themselves. You know, how are we going to change the rules? Are we going to change the interpretation of the rules?
Exactly.
Are we going to do things to make it so that way that the things that the VAR is more aligned with the rules in place? Maybe something happens now where that penalty is looked at and it's like, okay, it's definitely a penalty, or it should have been called. That's a penalty. Like, if depending on how the rule is written, and especially with handballs, that's the trickiest one because handballs are so difficult to judge. Like I said, intentional. And your intention, because some people will just put their hand up in the air to deflect something and try to do it. Others, sometimes it's just a mistake. But so it's really hard to say either call none of them or call all of them.
And
so you have to find a good rule that's going to make it so that is a more, not a more scrutinized thing, but something that's better done with, that is a better rule that enforces the game and also doesn't cause these issues.
It just needs to be explicitly stated when you can call a handball and at what and what
or
the penalty
what
is.
Or part of the arm it is.
And that too, because look, if the only reason that I personally think that was called a handball was because a goal was scored and it was in the attacking third. If that same play happened in midfield, I don't know if we're talking about this. Because maybe, you know, who are you guys playing? Maybe Tottenham gets the ball back and everyone's just like, ah, fuck it, they have possession.
Right.
And we keep
maybe
playing.
Nothing came of it.
And nothing came of it and you keep playing. So it's just one of those things where it needs to be explicitly stated. Look, if this happens in the attacking third, this is what we do. If this happens in midfield, this is what we do. Because right now, a lot of this shit is just up to the ref's discretion. So when it goes to VAR, people get angry. But we need to look at ourselves and look at the rule book and just realize that, look, the way soccer has been played for all these years, a lot of it is just up to ref discretion. That's just how it's been played. And now that we have all of this technology at our disposal, we need to refine the rules so we know when this happens, this is what happens. If a handball occurs at this point in time, you go to VAR and this is what can happen. Like, those things need to be explicitly stated in the rules so we can take the human error out of this. So when they go to VAR, boom, you know exactly what it is. You know exactly what the penalty is. And that's that. You know,
right.
the way it's written now, it's all up for debate. So don't get mad at the refs. Don't get mad at VAR. Get mad at the rules.
Yeah. So keep an eye on VAR throughout the season. See what happens. You know, we're going to have other incidences where this happens. We just have to understand that there's going to be certain things that, for the season that they can't control. But despite VAR, there was a lot of other stuff happening in the Premier League. We had a lot of teams, like we said, we had teams in action. We had three fixtures, and we're going to give our early impressions about some of the bigger teams right after this break.
Yeah.
Alrighty, and we are back. So obviously, we talked about all the stuff with VAR and all those issues, but believe it or not, there was actually soccer fixtures being played, and there was results happening during that time. Now it is three fixtures, and that's still not even a full month of Premier League play yet. And we haven't even gotten into the European competitions yet. So there's games are being played only once a week right now. It's not really the grind. So we don't have a full picture, but we do know that most of the bigger teams have pretty much been doing what they are supposed to be doing. And that's getting wins. I mean, Liverpool's 3-0. They've won all three of their games and they've had no issues.
Yeah. They're trucking along, picked off right where they left off, winning champions last year. And honestly, you know, again, very early, so take all of this with a grain of salt. But I'm very impressed with Liverpool the past year and a half, 2 years, because, you know, anybody who watches Premier League soccer knows they kind of used to be the butt of jokes.
They were what Arsenal is now.
Yeah, they always used to be. You would expect so much from them, and then they would always kind of fall on their face, and there would always be something that would happen that would kind of fuck them. But, like, you know, the past year and a half, 2 years, they've really turned that around with just solid, solid play all around in the midfield, in the defensive, on the defensive front. You know, obviously, we don't even need to talk about their goal scorers with Sadio Mane, fucking
Roberto Firmino,
and
Salah.
And Salah. And even though, you know, Firmino and Salah have kind of been on the, they've kind of been down the past couple fixtures.
Mane's been good, though, because he's been good since he came back from the African Cup.
Yeah. But, and this is like leading off from last year, you know, they weren't as like at the height of their powers.
Yeah, Salah didn't do what he did a couple years back, which was have like an historic season.
They were, and they still had really good seasons. Right. It just kind of tailed off towards the end of the season a little bit and into Champions League. And you could probably just attribute that to playing so much fucking soccer that time of year.
Right.
So I don't want to put too much on them, but it really just seems like they've picked off where they left off. No stops, you know, ready to go. So shout out to Liverpool. We'll see if it continues.
Yeah. I mean, I'll talk about Man City a little bit just because, I mean, they are right on top of the table. They're in second place. Their only points that they've lost so far really is just what happened with Tottenham. And again, a tie of that fixture isn't the worst thing, but it does suck that they didn't get the win not because of VAR, but because of what happened in the game. Because they did have opportunities to win the game. It was a very well-played game. And, I mean, Tottenham's definitely giving City issues every time they play. It's the top, all three of those teams in the top three in the Premier League are going to give each other problems whenever they play. So I think that's why a lot of City fans are so bummed, because that is a big opportunity to take points from, you know, your actual competitors. Because as much as the other teams are going to fight in 4 through 6, they're probably not going to make it to win the league. So really getting points from those games is such a big thing. And they have had some injury issues. I mean, Leroy Sané went down early in the year. He's not going to be here all year, pretty much. Maybe late in the year when we're making our push. So if he gets back into shape, that'd be great. But not going to happen for a while.
I doubt it. Just the way he likes to work in players.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with Benjamin Mendy. Mendy has finally been able to come back and train regularly, and Pep's even said that he wants him to train for almost about a month before he clears, because every time he comes back before, he's been getting hurt again. So he wants him to sustain an actual time of being healthy so that before he picks him, because Zinchenko's playing fine as the left back.
Yeah. This is a basketball reference, but he's kind of – it's similar with what Boogie Cousins – if you guys know about what happened to him, where he just rehabbed and probably came back too early, and just had back-to-back-to-back injuries, you know, similar to what's been happening to Mendy, it just seems like he never fully rehabs before he comes back, and then he just gets hurt again because he's stressing another part of his leg. So, you know, hopefully Pep is doing the right thing and just be like, look, get fully healthy. We're good. Don't even worry about it. Just get healthy and then come back.
Because we will need him for the competitions against the bigger players, because his influence is really good. He can run down the left flank at a high level, and his passes are great.
And that's a good point. You know, now is the time where you want to sit out. You only have one game a week. You want to have him back where you're playing
back
2 or 3 games a week.
If he comes back like mid-September, once we start getting into like the group stages and stuff, and the Premier League happen in October, then that's what I would be more worried if he's not back. But
see, my thing is, can he handle the holiday stretch? Because y'all are about to be playing a lot of games.
And that's when they're going to have to. And that's when they're going to have to rotate him and Zinchenko a lot. Because Zinchenko has proven that, yeah, he has those struggles at sometimes at left back, but he's able to hold it down on his own for the most part. And he does, and he is able to get up the field as well, which is what Pep likes in his fullbacks. So
I would just be prepping him. I'm like, just be, you know, get into shape, do your cardio, because that holiday stretch when you're really going to need him, when you guys are playing a like back to back to back games.
Right.
You know, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. I mean, and we also don't have Gabriel Jesus right now. His isn't a major thing. There is an international break coming up here shortly. And
it's a strain. You got to watch strains, though, because strains can turn into something.
Right. So luckily we have Sergio Aguero, so we do have the luxury of not having to do it. But it does put a lot of stress on Aguero throughout the year if Jesus isn't able to come back. So we only have 2 true strikers on the team. So that is something to keep in mind. I mean, it's not a massive issue, but at the same time, Gabriel Jesus is an important member of this team, and he actually was featuring on a pretty regular basis before it was happening. He was actually playing really well before that injury. And then the last person that just came back actually is John Stones, which would be huge because we don't have Vincent Kompany anymore, and we're down to Nicolas Otamendi, Mirk Laporte, and Philip Sandler. And he's a younger guy that's more of a center back, but Alex Garcia. He's a young 19-year-old center back that has some promise, and Pep likes him a lot, but you don't want to put him in a bunch of games quite yet. You want to have that presence that John Stones has, because he's been with the team for a long time.
Yeah.
He works well with Laporte as the right back center back. So it'll hopefully he gets back, because that is the one place where City has been lacking, and that's on the defense, because they have had so much injuries happening there.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, other than that, they look really solid.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin De Bruyne looks like he's back in form. I mean, he's been getting healthy and had a full offseason to really rehab, and he looks like the old Kevin De Bruyne, which has been a big help. David Silva has been looking good in his beginning of his farewell tour in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And Riyad Mahrez has really stepped up without Leroy Sané. He's definitely been performing a lot better than he did last year in limited playing time. It'll be interesting to see what they do the rest of the year. I mean, they have a battle at right back between Kyle Walker and Joao Cancelo. They're both really good right backs, and that's a really competitive spot on Pep's teams because he likes to have those bombing fullbacks.
Can either of them play left?
Cancelo can play left, but they are also trying to work him in because he didn't have as much of a training session with Juventus as maybe he should have. So they want to get him in, but he can play a little bit of left back. He's a better right back. But I wouldn't be surprised sometimes if they need to give Zinchenko a day off and Mendy's still having some issues getting back if they bring in Cancelo.
Right.
Just because they don't have the center back depth really to play as a three center back unit.
Yeah. You could probably – I don't – and Pep, he's pretty vanilla with his defensive sets. But you could probably work something because there's a lot of sets that you can run where you just like – if you have a right back and you want him to play left, you just have him like pinch in a little bit and kind of like work the middle. And then you have your left mid left mid just kind of fall back a little bit, and they can kind of make up that defensive hole while your, you know, left back, who's really a right back, is pinching in, so they're on their dominant foot. So you could run some sets like that if you're lacking at left back a little bit. But
yeah, you know. I mean, that's the one issue that they probably have, and just the center back depth. But I mean, their midfield depth has gotten a lot better with the addition of Rodri from Atletico Madrid. He started out a little shaky in the first Premier League game just because every guy takes a little bit to adjust to the speed of the game.
Yeah, fucking
everyone has errors. Pretty much every player you'll see that is coming from another league to the Premier League, they always have some type of touching errors.
What's his Brazilian? Fred. Fred, he still hasn't fucking gotten used to Premier
right.
League.
And not everyone does adjust to the Premier League sometimes, and if they do, it takes them a lot longer. So it really just depends on the player. But Rodri has started to stabilize a little bit and made it so Fernandinho actually might get employed in a center back role sometimes just because of our depth. Yeah. But also it'll save him for the big matches when they're playing later in the season. And Fernandinho will still be an important part of this team. He's still one of the engines of our team because he's able to link the front defense from the midfielders who were able to do so much damage. So it'll definitely be – Man City's still a really good team even with the injuries they have, but – it would be nice to get those back because they are shooting for those high stars this year, trying to get back into the Champions League and get deep.
Mm-hmm.
Tottenham's trying to do the same, but they're having a little bit of a slow start. I mean, they had the tie with Man City. Then they won a game and then they lost because of VAR, because of some potential incidents. Not because of VAR, but VAR was a factor.
Yeah.
They do have some injuries. I mean, Dombele is having a hamstring problem and he's being assessed right now. So we'll see how he does. Dele Alli, he's had some issues, I guess, and they need to be able to get him back into the fold. And they also need to get back Kyle Walker-Peters, their right back, because they don't really have right back depth sending Kerryon Trippier over to Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
So they're having some depth issues right now, and that's something that they were trying to prevent, but they got rid of some other areas to strengthen like their midfield. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works, especially with their defense. It seems like that's where they decided not to have as many resources.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny because Tottenham doesn't really spend, and then they kind of spend, and then now they have all these injuries. So it's kind of like they can't really win. Because
like their midfield's still pretty good with Sissoko and Lo Celso and Dombele and Christian Eriksen. And when Ali comes back, they'll be set there. But they don't have Ryan Sessegnon, the young guy they signed. He's still a while back. But he needs to adapt because he's a young player coming from a lower team in England with Fulham. So,
and that's what I'm saying. It's just kind of unfortunate because they finally have an off season where they make a few moves, they spend a little bit of money, and then now they have some injuries to start the season. And granted, it's early, so they'll make these points up. You know, the fact that they were able to tie Man City, who's, you know, probably the second best team in England right now. It's for sure the second best team, if not the best, over Liverpool. So
yeah.
The fact that they were able to tie them does say something about the fact that they can play. And Pep, you never want to rule him out. I don't think anybody saw them making
Pochettino.
I don't think anybody saw them making the Champions League final the way they did.
No.
But you know, that it just speaks to the fact that this team can really turn it on and play when they have to. And they're talented all the way around. Like Graham's, you know, laid out earlier, that midfield is stacked. So,
and they have Harry Kane and they have Son and they have all these different, and if, when Dele Alli comes back, they'll have another creator with Eriksen,
and
who's still leading
Kane
that
has
team.
Had a few months off now to kind of rehab the injury some more and get back into form. So, you know, I think Tottenham will be okay. Like Graham said, it's really a three-team race right now between Liverpool, them, and Tottenham. You know, we'll talk about Arsenal next, but Arsenal's probably my fourth team that I would have kind of etching out
Arsenal's
right now.
Arsenal's looking pretty good.
Until U shows me anything, I would say Arsenal looks really good. And we talked about it in the preseason podcast. You know, Arsenal made a couple moves, you know.
That Cabello's loan actually looks like it's turning out really well.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out Arsenal. I guess we can just kind of go into Arsenal right now. But.
Yeah. I mean, Arsenal's impressed me so far. I think they definitely have had some big strides forward
Hector
early
Bellerin
on. Hector Bellerin has been out. He will probably be out for another couple months. And Kieran Tierney, the left back that they signed, he's hurt right now too. So once they get those two guys back, that'll be really helpful with their fullbacks, because Tierney is able to get up the field. He's a strong dude despite his frame.
And defense is where they were lacking.
Right, and Bellerin's really good at bombing down the pitch too, which Klopp plays a somewhat similar style to Pep. So that's why I kind of know a little bit about it, just because they do come from similar trees. They come from German trees.
And that's just and that's more, I would say, less about, you know, where they come from and more about just like where the Premier League is heading. Like,
right.
We saw that all of last year and even.
But I think they were the big pioneers of it because I think Jurgen Klopp's been implementing this for a while now, and then Pep has also had his time.
See, but even looking at world soccer, you know, Brazilians have been doing this since the 90s.
But in the Premier League, we haven't
seen it.
You know,
so this, you know, having fullbacks that run, you know, Hulk, one of my favorite defenders, that was his staple. He would run up and down and score goals. So, you know, we've seen, you know, defenders who can play forward before. I think now we're just starting to see, you know, more Premier League teams get hip to it as we see offense kind of take more of a priority in the league. But, you know, shout out to Arsenal for trying to fortify that defense and really do something in the league, because they've really started out pretty good. They've shown that, you know, hey, we're trying to be a different Arsenal this year, even though they're not in Champions, which I think really would have been where we could see the barometer for how good this team is. You know, if they can make some noise in the league, make top four and maybe get into Champions League, I think that's a big, I think that's a big win for
Europa League. That would be big for them if they could win Europa League.
Oh, or even, win Europa League or get top four to get
into
Champions.
Just to have that trophy, just so that way they can say they did something during the year. Because they're probably not going to
win
Premier League, and they're not in Champions.
And that's why I think, if I'm being honest, I think this team is one to two years away.
Yeah, I think they're a year away from being
able to
challenge.
Yeah, from really being able to challenge. So even if they don't win anything, as long as they can get into Champions for next year, I think that gives these players something to play for, something to look forward to, and something to really strive for as they get better.
Yeah, Unai Emery's definitely done a good job out of the gates with them. Hopefully they don't have the lull that they did last year, because last year they started out pretty strong as well. And they kind of fell off a little bit at the end, just because they did have a lot of games played, and their depth is not quite what other teams are. They still have a lot of talented players like Lucas Torreira, and they signed Nicolas Pepe from Lille. He's been doing amazing, along with Aubameyang and Lacazette.
So yeah, and even though and just the stat just came to my head, but I saw something that Aubameyang he's been pretty bad against top six teams. So hopefully they can, you know, kind of shake that monkey off of their back, because if Arsenal wants to, you know, compete and be mentioned, you know, with one of the top four teams in England, then you really got to show out against top six teams. And
right,
you have
to get points from those.
You
teams.
Have to. And like I was saying, even with Tottenham struggling, they were able to muck out a tie against one of the best teams in the league. And those are the types of games that if you're a real contender, you have to muck out. So the fact that Aubameyang struggles against those top tier defenses does kind of worry me. But this Arsenal team, as we saw last year, doesn't really have any problem scoring. So I think they'll be okay. But that is something to look out for with Arsenal.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something to keep an eye on, just because Arsenal does have a lot of talent and a lot of promise. It's just kind of wondering, you know, is the light going to turn on for them this year?
Yeah,
or is
it
going to be a couple more things?
Yeah, because you got to put it all together at the end of the day.
Right. Chelsea, really quick, it's just kind of, they're just kind of doing their thing.
Yeah.
Being that team we expected.
We didn't really expect much from them. If you guys remember from the preseason podcast, we both had them six. So it's like.
Pulisic looks okay so
far.
He took him a little bit to adjust to the speed, but he's starting to progress a little bit.
Yeah.
They have a lot of young guys that are starting to at least show something, and that'll be good for them this year, just to kind of see what young talent is good for them. Tammy Abraham, this young striker, just got a raise from them, so he's been showing some promise. So this year is not going to be really competing Champions League for them. It's really just rebuilding, getting their young guys some experience, and then bringing in some guys next year when the transfer ban's over.
Yeah. You know, like I said,
see if Frank Lampard can make it through the season. Cause
right.
there was talks after the early games that people were already getting upset, and he does have a high profile job. Despite the fact that he is a legend, he does have a short leash.
Yeah. And I almost think that I almost think your leash is shorter when you're a legend, because we expect you to know the game. We expect you to, you know, bring greatness to the squad. So, you know, like Graham was saying, we didn't really expect much from Chelsea this season, just because they had the transfer ban. They couldn't really bring in anybody. They brought in Pulisic, and he is looking better. He's getting acclimated to Premier League speed, but it's going to take them time to put it all together with the young pieces that they are trying to get acclimated to the Premier League. You know, we're not really expecting too much. If anything does happen with Chelsea, obviously we'll talk about it, but right now they're just kind of there.
Yeah, I'd say they'd have to have some big breakouts from players to really challenge for top four this year.
Yeah.
And obviously we got to talk about Man U. I know there's been a lot of things the last couple weeks where they did get some results, but they also had some controversy with penalties, and Olam really wanted to talk about the penalties. I know he's just dying to give us his take, so take it away.
I wouldn't even say dying, but I definitely have to talk about it, because I think that is... because
it was so ironic that they talked about it, and then Rashford took the penalty, and then he missed the penalty. It was pretty funny.
Oh, it's just like, okay, so for people who don't know, in the game against Wolves, Pogba, there was a penalty. Rashford and Pogba talked it over. Pogba decided to take it and miss. Next game, same thing. Against Newcastle?
Crystal Palace.
I keep saying fucking Newcastle. Yeah. It was against Crystal Palace. They talk it over, and Rashford takes it this time, and he fucking misses. If they had made those penalties, we'd be 3-0, and we'd be right up there with Liverpool.
Yeah.
So it's very annoying to be dropping points against teams that we should win against.
Yeah, you know, especially after the strong showing they had in the opener.
You know, and shout out to the Wolves, because they are a solid team, but we should have beat them. Shout out to Crystal Palace. We definitely should have beat them. So it's just like, and we throttled Chelsea, so I don't even know what the fuck happened. Granted, Chelsea's not that good, like we just got done saying. But I just say all that to say that it's like, I really am, and I think all Man U fans kind of feel this way, just from what I've been seeing on social media. But like, it's just kind of like we don't really know what to expect from this season, because on paper we seem pretty good, but Shaw's hurt now.
Pogba keeps talking about he wants to leave.
Pogba wants to leave. He keeps talking. We just sent fucking Sanchez to Inter, and we're still paying that salary, so I don't know what the fuck's going on there. So it's just kind of like...
well, it's one less guy you have to have on your team that's...
yeah, but it's just like, I would prefer to have the asset. You know what I mean? Like... talking to Graham off cam, but it's like, fucking play. Like, it's not that hard. So it's like,
it might just be he would be one of the later.
Yeah, but it's just like, when you're looking at Man U and you're looking at all of these things that are going on, a lot of people are just kind of like, you know, on paper we should be able to put this together, and we're still like a solid squad. But it's like, it's just kind of like hard when you could have walked away with 9 points and then you end up with 4. It's kind of annoying.
Believe me, City could have walked away with 9 and ended up with 7. I mean, it's a little bit different, but
a little different circumstances.
But when you have VAR help be a factor and you losing points, it is kind of annoying.
Yeah, but again, it's just one of those things where it's like, if it helps you, you're not annoyed at all. So it's like, it's a very different circumstance with Man City. Again, nobody's worried about them. But, you know, just looking at Man U, it's like annoying when you are like, you're not considered one of the top teams for sure. So it's like, when you have games that you can clearly win, you should probably win. So it's just very annoying that we were dropping points to easy opponent, and you know, again, no disrespect if you're a fan, but like, to easy opponents that we should have won. And again, if Pogba and Rashford make those penalties, we have 9 points, and this isn't even a fucking discussion.
Right.
So it's just very annoying as a Man U fan. I don't really know where we're going this year. You know, again, we're not competing for Champions. We're not even in Champions. So best case scenario, we get top four or win Europa. You know, we'll talk about Europa when the time comes, but it's just kind of an in-between season with Man U, you know? I think a lot of fans are just kind of waiting to see what happens, you know? If we do well, great. If we don't, well, you know, we weren't really expecting too much. Right. And it just kind of sucks for Ollie, too, because I don't really know, like, I don't know. I don't want to say he's losing the locker room, because I feel like the young guys really do respond to him. But it's just like some of the veterans on the veteran players. It's just like, I don't
necessarily. So you mean Pogba?
So yeah, Pogba. It's like, I just don't necessarily see them like responding so well to like the new sets and the new coaching methods that he's bringing in, which is troubling because that was kind of propelling us before.
And they also looked really good running those in the first game against Chelsea. So I don't know why they.
Yeah, but I don't want to put too much stock into that.
No,
Chelsea
but they
sucks, so.
But they aren't really running the sets that they were running in that game. So it's like, why are you not even trying that stuff that you tried in that game?
And again, to be fair, you know, again, Chelsea sucks. Wolves and Crystal Palace are lower tier teams, so they're always going to play big six clubs harder. So I do attribute, you know, the result to some of that, because Chelsea, like we just got done saying, nobody's expecting shit from them. So we should have washed them. Okay, whatever. Wolves are a great, great team. And you know, shout out to Graham, because he's been saying this for a while. So the Wolves are a really good team. So the fact that they were, and not to mention that they beat us twice last year. So they know how to.
Wolves gave City problems all the time.
They know how to play us. So again, the fact that we were able to tie, not too mad at it. And then Crystal Palace, you know. So it is what it is. So I'm not going to put too much stock into those games. You shouldn't put stock into anything we're saying too much because it's three games in. Right. But, you know, if I had to say something about it, it is a little troubling that we couldn't pick up those points. But
I think if we start seeing this happening still in like late September, early October, then that's when we can start getting.
Yeah, and like, you know, obviously it's early. So all of this is not.
Yeah, they get one more game again before the international break against Southampton. And then they do have somewhat of an interesting stretch because they do have to play Leicester out of the break. Then West Ham, who usually does give big six teams issues, but they're struggling. And then they play Arsenal, which will be a very anticipated matchup for, you know, that team that is trying to claim that last spot in the Champions League. That's definitely a big game right there for whoever wins that game, if someone does.
Oh, they play Arsenal on my birthday. Nice.
Yeah, I'd say so. It'll be a perfect birthday present for Olam. You can watch.
We got to win on my birthday. We have to. But, yeah, just to wrap it up, I think Man U will be okay this year. I still think we can make top four. I still think we can compete with Arsenal for that spot. I really do. And I still think that we can easily win Europa. Maybe not easily, but we've done it before.
We have the talent to do it.
Yeah, we definitely have the talent to do it. Like, we damn near did it with
Mourinho.
Yeah, with Mourinho, with our second squad.
I thought you guys did win the Europa League.
No, we did, but I'm saying we almost did it. We didn't even really use first teamers until like the semis. So it's like you know, Europa is Europa. So I think we'll be okay in the making Champions League for next year. It's really just about developing our players so that when we do make champions, we're ready. And that's the part that I'm kind of worried about, because with all this, you know, shit going on with our stars, you know, they kind of are the basis of the team. It's great to have young players that, you know, are ready and are, you know, part of the Man U system. But if we don't have the stars to get it done in the Premier League, it doesn't matter how good our youngsters are. So that's kind of troubling, especially with Pogba being our best player. Let's keep it a buck. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll obviously know more as we go through the season. And before we go, the Champions League draw, we love to talk Champions League here in Red and Blue. It's happening tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday, August 28th, and on the 29th will be when the drawing happens. So basically what happens is there's four pots in the Champions League draw, and UEFA picks them out, and then you get separate, and then it's one team per pot, and you get put into groups. So there's four pots, and really only two pots have teams that are like, that have aspirations of making it into champions. The first pot has the Liverpool, Chelsea's in it because they actually are in Champions League this year.
Yeah.
Good luck. Barcelona, City, Juventus, Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain, and then the Russian powerhouse, Zenit, St. Petersburg. And then pot two has Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Tottenham, Borussia Dortmund, and Napoli. And then they have the sleeping giants from last year, including Ajax and Lyon, potentially. So those two groups are really where you're going to be looking at. So, and just so people also understand, you don't play teams in your league at bare minimum until the quarterfinals. So obviously City's had to do that the last 2 years, and we've seen how that's gone. But so I'm really hoping for the third straight year we don't play a Premier League team in the quarters. Let's at least get to the semis and then play one. But yeah, so basically that's happening tomorrow. Those groups will be decided. And then mid-September will be when the first games happen for those group stages. And there's six games in each group stage. So we should get excited soon because check out for your favorite team because I know at least I'll be able to see soon what groups Man City is going to play in.
Yep, should be interesting. I'm just going to be a spectator this year because Man U is in Europa. Yeah. But, you know, it'll be interesting because Champions League is the height of football, you know, club football anyway. So it'll be interesting to see who can get it done this year. You know, I'm honestly, though, hot take, Liverpool back-to-back champs.
Ooh. I think there's a clear top three for it. And I think it's Liverpool, Manchester City, and then Juventus probably is up there. And if not Juventus, then I would probably say either Atletico is a dark horse or, again, Real Madrid maybe. Because depending on how Zidane does handle things. Because Real Madrid has the talent. I don't believe in Barcelona. I'm not going to pick them until I see them actually not choke. So
I don't believe in a lot of these teams.
I think the two English teams definitely are going to be in the discussion. And then we'll see what happens with Bayern Munich. I mean, they did get Felipe Coutinho and they got a couple other big guys that they brought in. I mean, Tottenham got better. Dortmund's a pretty good team. They always are. Atletico Madrid's made a couple Champions League finals. It'll be interesting to see, but we can definitely say as Premier League analysts that at least two of our teams are going to be trying to compete for the top crown.
Yeah, for sure.
So go ahead and look out for that. You'll see those draws coming out, and we will be back in the next week and a half or so, probably after the international break, like right before, maybe either right before that fixture or the fixture after that. So Look around for Premier League or for our next podcast, probably in like mid-September. We apologize. And if there is anything else that happens and breaks before that, we will come back and we'll cover it.
Yeah, as usual, you know, we're going to come back and break any stories if there is anything interesting. But if not, we'll probably just stick to, you know, around a week and a half, 2 weeks, get a couple more fixtures, come back right before the break, probably discuss the Champions League groups and just update anything that happened in the league. So you guys can look out for that. As always, you know, go to TreeCityRecords.com, be a part of the Street Team so you can get updates on everything Tree City. Tree City Game is chugging along. I've been trying to stream more, you know, so just, you know, look out for that. Updates on music. Ozzy just dropped a new track. Biggs's tape is coming out very, very soon. You know, Red and Blue podcast, Tree City sports podcast. Get updates on everything we do if you join the Street Team. And as always, man, we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for listening and supporting us.
Peace.
Later.